I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends.
Well, welcome to today's episode of Hot Topics, Cool Friends. And today we have Jamie. Jamie, pronounce your last name.
Jamie Wietrzykowski.
Okay.
Wietrzykowski.
It's just like it's spelled.
I'm so excited for this episode because I have never laid eyes on Jamie before. He's like, not my cool friend yet.
Yeah. Not yet. You're going to love him. I mean, talk about, I guess if you looked up an entrepreneur, you could see Jamie's face in the dictionary. Or the wherever you would look up the entrepreneur. Because seriously.
Under Wietrzykowski, yeah. Easy to find.
So take, what were you going to say, Lori?
Well, I was just going
to. I'm not going to cut you off today.
I was just going to ask to tell all of us a little bit about your personal life, like about you, before we dive right into what you do for a living.
Oh, sure. Okay. Sure. So I'm a native to Toledo, Ohio, born and raised my entire life. Grew up on the north end of Toledo, graduated Woodward High School in 1990, and I was luckily nominated just a little over a year ago to be in the Woodward Hall of Fame because of my entrepreneurism.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. And things progressed after that. Born in 1972, lived in every part of Toledo, northeast, southwest, Perrysburg, currently living in Monclova.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome. I'm excited.
He throws some fun parties at Monclova. I've not been to one yet, but
that's another episode.
I have not.
We'll all have to. You could sing maybe at the next one, but anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good. So take us to the beginning of the, what was your first job?
My first job was actually one of the best jobs ever, working at, everybody knows it that's grown up in the Toledo and surrounding areas, is Stanley's Supermarket. Stanley's five-star supermarket located there on Stickney Avenue. The Zahovich's, you were allowed to work at 15 and a half, and as soon as I was 15 and a half, I was jumping at the bit. I talked Joe into getting me a job in there, started as a bag boy.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That was my first job at Churchill's.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Churchill's on Monroe.
Yeah. You had to bag groceries. You had the heavy pop bottles. Uh-huh. You had to stack pop bottles back then. I got lucky and got pushed up to in the deli department. And then everybody knows Stanley's for their world famous kielbasa.
Are they still in business?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, should go do a commercial for them because this is like,
I know.
They are nationwide now. Okay. They still have their location there on Stickney Avenue, but they moved down and bought a warehouse on Matzinger off that area, and they produce it for Kroger's and several other food chain lines. Hmm. Yeah. Nationwide. You can get down to Florida now.
Nice. All right. There you go. That's good to know. Okay, so the Stanley's was the first. And then what was your first entrepreneurial gig?
Well, actually, that was probably before Stanley's. When you're an entrepreneur, it starts when you're young. It doesn't start when you're older. For me personally, I would say that is, you know, I was always the kid out there knocking doors in the winter to see if somebody wanted their snow shoveled. In the summer, same thing. A friend of a friend, the old lady down the street who's been widowed for 15 years, that makes you use a push mower instead of a gas mower. It starts at a very, very young age, and you really don't grow out of it.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. What?
You tell us what you own currently?
Oh, no, we haven't got there. We're working. Okay. We're going back in time. Oh. We're building up to it.
Okay.
But that's okay.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
He owns all. He, you know, like most entrepreneurs, you don't just do one thing at a time.
No. I like to tell people when you're in small business, it's better to have more eggs in your basket than not. Because depending on what market, what business you're into, no matter what it is, it's better to have more than one egg because at any given time, the market can change. And it's good if two eggs are doing good and one's not. Mm-hmm. And you're blessed if all three are doing well or all four or five, whatever you might have in that basket.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%.
Well, my basket broke and my eggs all fell out.
We'll get to that.
Hopefully they were hard boiled.
And we'll get to that. Maybe Jamie has some advice for us Savannah people right now that are going through through it.
And I'm just kidding. All my eggs are not. None of my eggs are broke.
No,
some of them
boiled.
Were scrambled. She's scrambled sometimes.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. Everything's fine. All right. So let's take us to the first. Your roofing. How you got into the roofing business?
Okay, so I've worn many hats over the decades, and I used to work and drive a truck for FedEx. I worked out at Toledo. I commuted to the Detroit Metro Airport daily. I would commute every day. And then I forget what decade it was or what year it was exactly, but they started cutting hours because the overnight freight started being subsidized by other companies. Other companies were coming into business and things slowed down and they couldn't guarantee 40 hours a week. So at that time, we had done some roofing, long story short, for our friends at work. It was a scratch your back. Everybody does a roof, labor for labor. And at the end, a buddy of mine, Randy, he said, "Hey, Jamie, I'd like you to do my roof." I'm like, "Randy, that's the worst job I've ever done. Hardest job I've ever done. My back still hurts. I got blisters. I'm not good for this." He's like, "Well, you know what? I want you to do it for free." He talked me into it, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I went out. I bid the job. He accepted it. I called off work on Friday from FedEx, went there with other friends from FedEx to tear off the roof on Friday, worked on it all day Saturday, Sunday, cleaned it up before I had to go back to work on Monday. After it was all said and done, I put, I think, $1,200 to $1,400 in my pocket for 4 days' work. So right then, the light bulb went off. Like, wow, I work 40 to 50 hours a week to make two-thirds of that. Mm-hmm. And the light bulb went off. A couple weeks later, I'm out there walking with my fresh-born baby daughter on a baby backpack, mm-hmm. walking my neighborhood, passing out the flyers that I printed from my printer that cost, like, back then, like $6 a print because it was DPI. It took like one ink cartridge per 10 sheets. So I canvassed the neighborhood, and long story short, I got one bite out of 100 brochures, and it was an investor, a guy that flipped real estate, and he had me give him a quote. And back then, I didn't know how to quote properly, so I was too cheap, and he quickly jumped on that opportunity. Yeah, he shared my information with several of his friends. Next thing you know, I'm getting beat up, turned each way from Sunday on giving quotes for these investors, found out I was bidding them too cheap, started raising my prices. And here I am 27 years later, Owens Corning Platinum Preferred Installer, one of the top rated on the Angie's List, one of the best reputations around, and one of the longer companies in business that are self-owned with no partners.
Nice.
That's amazing. Okay,
that
real quick
so
question
cool.
Because we know Google wasn't around. How did you learn how to roof?
It literally was when we did our, the guys at FedEx, we did labor for labor. So one guy kind of knew how to do roofing. He kind of showed the rest of us. And by the time we were done with my mom's roof in Perrysburg, that was the last roof we did out of seven, everybody was a decent roofer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not rocket science. You follow the instructions on the packets. It's actually in the packet on how to install your roof properly. You do that and it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, you say that.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
It's like the Pinterest cakes, the bakers, like make it look like, no.
I watched him put a roof on my house.
And that doesn't look easy to me.
But not for me.
I'll trust you. All right. So that was, you never stopped. I mean, you still have the roofing business.
Yep. That's my baby. That's my pride and joy. I got into, before the crash of 2009, when the mortgage industry not failed but went belly up, I flipped a lot of real estate. I got in with the roofing and being a licensed contractor. I realized being handy, I could do roofing. I could flip houses in between. It went hand and fist. You know, if the guys were slow, I could have them help me. Handy myself, so I did a lot of the demo and remodel myself. And it just grew. It just grew and grew and grew. And then I was blessed to be at the right place at the right time with the roofing company. We were working for Buckeye Builders at the time, and they got the contract for Extreme Home Makeover. We had just became their installer like 3 or 4 months prior. And then they offered us, "Hey, do you want to do the Extreme Home Makeover?" And I'm like, "Well, that's just a silly question."
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was there for that one. The one they had right here in Toledo.
Yeah, they're on Alexis Road. Yeah.
Did you get to say move that bus?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, because Dwayne Horst
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, from horse, yeah.
Yeah, 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 so, yeah.
Heating and air.
I was there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, we went from being at the right place at the right time, flipping real estate, then we had the crash, again, from the mortgage industry in 2009. That led me to taking a small break, and being an entrepreneur or A-type personality, they're kind of the same. Like, you can't sit still. Like, you have one business, and your day's not 100% full. You want to fill it with something else. And there was a restaurant in Haskins, Ohio, that I went to with my family back then, and it was always a hot mess. It was either you got good service, bad food, or bad service and good food. There was never, it was never equal or 40-40. And I saw the writing on the wall. I said, this place is a hot mess. I mean, it's kind of a hole in the wall, a lot of improvements. I said, as soon as this fails or folds, I'll buy it and I'll try my hand at the restaurant business. And ironically, 6 months later, there's an orange sticker on the window. And for people that don't know, an orange sticker on a window, you see them in neighborhoods. That means the house is going into foreclosure. Mm-hmm. That means the bank is repossessing it. It's been repossessed. My buddy called and said, Jamie, there's an orange sticker on the window. From there, I basically got a hold of the owner through the old interwebs that everybody likes to call it, found the owner, contacted him, got his permission to talk to the bank and for him because he didn't understand why I'd want to help him. Like, he's like, why would you want to help me get this out of foreclosure? I'm like, well, I'm helping myself understand. You know, I'm a business owner and I'm helping myself. If I buy it now with you through the bank instead of waiting it for to go to auction, I'll get it for less. He says, all right. So we worked a deal. I called the bank. They accepted it. And that was my first delve into the restaurant business. And I turned, was formerly known as Herbie's, mm-hmm. into the Mail Pouch Saloon in Haskins, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Been there many times. Mm-hmm.
It's a fun family restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's themed inside and outside to look like an old Western saloon. We have great menu items, awesome bar, horseshoe bar, outside on the patios at both locations now. We have two locations. We have swings. Mm-hmm. You know, you can sit out there and just swing on the patio, yeah. Enjoy a cocktail, a soda, and whatever listen, you want.
Do you still have great music?
Yes, it does.
We have different types of music now, though.
Yeah. So, all right. So then take us to Swanton.
So after I got Haskins rolling, I got the restaurant bug is what they call it. And I'm like, wow, this is doing so good. It's so fun. Working with the people back then, this is 14 years ago, there was a lot of energy in the restaurant business. It was fun. It was different. It was dynamic. You had all your different forms of life from the front of the house in restaurant business to the back of the house. They're so diverse. Mm-hmm. And I got the bug. I loved working with people. I just love people in general. And I'm very trusting. And I'm like, let's do this. Let's get another one. And that's when the former Shuckers in Swanton, Ohio, which they used to have that big pink sailboat up on the roof for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And people were very, very upset that I took down their Swantucky favorite sailboat.
Where is the sailboat?
The sailboat was sold, and I was so blessed, knock on wood, to sell it at an auction that I raffled when I was auctioning off all the equipment from Shuckers when I finally closed it down for the remod. Mm-hmm. I got so lucky that there was a gentleman there that really liked the boat for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And he bid up to $1,000.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, bless you. Bless you, because that's exactly how much the crane costs to get that piece of crap off the radio, off the roof.
Yeah.
And he was so happy about it. We got the crane out there. We lifted it off. We set it on his trailer. And I ran into him like 4 years ago, and he said it's still sitting on that same trailer.
Is it?
And I'm like, better your trailer than my dumpster. So then all the Swantuckians were so upset that I took their boat off. So I came up with an idea like, all right, this is a saloon. And what are saloons known for? You got cowboys. And what do cowboys ride in on?
Horses.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I went on the old interwebs again, found two full-size scale fiberglass horses. Not one, but two. I figured we had one boat. Let's do two horses. So I bought them, not thank God, from Temu, because they would have came in miniatures. Nobody would have saw them, but I got them on the interwebs. They were full-size fiberglass. We got them up there, and then we had a nice welcome to Swanton gathering on Facebook. We let everybody in Swanton name them. Like, whoever comes up with the best name, they're going to get free lunch or whatever we decided at that time. And we happened to be on the Fulton-Lucas County line. Mm-hmm. And one member came in with the best names for them, Fulton and Lucas.
So, well, there you go. I didn't know that.
How did you come up with the name? You said it was Herbie's. How did you come up with the name Mail Pouch?
That is a great question. That is a very good question, and I'm glad you asked, because I moved to Perrysburg from Toledo, which I lived pretty much my whole life. And when I was going to Herbie's, me and my neighbors from my area there in Perrysburg, we would get together on Man Cave, which everybody kind of knows Man Cave, and you get together and have drinks, cocktails, cigars, and you start shooting the stuff. And they're like, hey, you guys want to go to the pouch? And I'm like, I don't know what that is. Well, it's Herbie's, but back in the late 70s, early 80s, they turned it into the Mail Pouch Saloon. And I'm so glad you asked this, because it's a great story, and I sometimes forget. So I said, it was called the Mail Pouch Saloon. They're like, yeah. So in a small community village, because Haskins is actually a village, not a town, not a city, they love what's old is ingrained in them. So that was the first bar they ever had. The gentleman, Ed Euler, I think, was the owner that was the first to bring a bar to Haskins and get the liquor license. So it changed names over the decades, but all the people from the original time living there always called it the Pouch. So being good at marketing and business, why change something that's not broke? So when I remodeled it, I said the all-new Mail Pouch Saloon. And I asked for details from the people of how things were laid out. They had on one wall, they had, the Mail Pouch chewing tobacco logos mm-hmm. that are on barns everywhere. Mm-hmm. Someone had taken one down and donated it. And they put it on the inside wall. And that was the nicest thing in that bar. Old barn wood, because there was holes in the floors. It was warped. They had a pool table over like a 2-foot hole in the floor. The bar was tiny. They always ran out of beer. They had to go across the street to Orr's gas station and get beer when they ran out, which technically is illegal, but it is what it is. Back in the 80s, it's fine. So that's where I renamed it Mail Pouch Saloon, to give the history of, a small town. No matter where you're at, there's always small town vibes. People love, the history of their town or mm-hmm. village at this point.
Good
that
move.
Is so cool.
So smart. Okay, so now back to Haskins. Well, do you want to take us, what happened through COVID?
So prior to COVID, we were on the chain of restaurant ownership. And you get the bug. So I went from Haskins to Swanton. And Swanton, I turned Shuckers into the second Mail Pouch Saloon location. And then when I was at Put-in Bay a year later, I was there and they had turned a fire truck into their outside patio bar, and they had seats on it, they had an awning on it, they had beer taps coming out of it. I'm like, that's a really good idea. I said, again, when you got that entrepreneur mentality, you're like, wow, what could you do with this? This is a really good idea. I like the fire trucks, I like the beer, I like the seats. People love firefighters. People love first responders. They love police officers. I'm like, what could I do instead of doing another Mail Pouch? So I came up with the idea that I was going to buy the Don Pablo's there on Airport Highway a year later after I opened Swanton and got it finished. Pam Rose had another idea to put it up for auction 6 months before I wanted to buy it. So I bought a lot of real estate, like I mentioned earlier, that I know a lot of realtors. So I reached out to Pam. And I said, I didn't want to buy that till next year. She's like, well, sorry, sweetheart. It's going up for auction next month. And I'm like, all right, well, I want to buy it. And we negotiated a price. I got it before auction because, again, like I mentioned, it's better to be before than after. Mm-hmm. So I bought the Don Pablo's there on Airport in Hollinsylvania. And I decided to make an entire restaurant themed around first responders. And it was called the Fire Station Bar and Grill.
You ever go in there, Lori? It's so cool.
I don't know.
It was so cool. But what cracks me up is, you go to Put-in Bay and you see a fire truck that's just one truck. His place was huge, full of the coolest things.
I don't think I have.
Oh, it was neat.
Yeah, we had three full-size fire trucks parked outside right on Airport Highway. Mm-hmm. Each one I picked up and drove. One was from Sweetwater, Tennessee. I won it on auction, flew to Sweetwater, picked it up, and was driving it home. Luckily, you know, I drove a truck, like I mentioned earlier, for FedEx, semi for 10 years. So I'm driving this fire truck home, and it's called a telesquirter. It's got this big, basically, squirt gun on the top that weighs 10,000 pounds. So you can get up close to a fire and squirt it out. Well, when I'm doing my pre-trip and looking at the truck before I go to drive it, everything looks great. They're like, we checked the oil, we checked this, the tires look good. I get on the expressway, not even 25 miles in, and right front drive tire blows out, just everywhere. And the tires look like brand new when I got there. So I called them up. I'm like, I thought these tires were good. They're like, yeah, 25 years ago, they were brand new. I'm like, oh, my God. So they were dry rotted. Yeah. And thank God nobody got hurt, because 25 years ago on the tires, they had these snap rings, these steel snap rings that would hold the tire on the rim. That thing shot off and could easily have killed somebody. Like, so blessed that nobody got hurt. Luckily, you know, when the steer tire goes down on a big truck, I mean, it's like leaning 45 degrees. And driving that and parking it off of 75, long story short, 3 hours later, $1,500 later, two brand new steer tires on the way home.
$1,500 seems pretty good. I'm picturing you getting towed for...
They can't tow
they
a fire
can't tow
truck.
It. I was like, how do you...
You
yeah,
can't tow a fire truck.
Tires.
They're too heavy. They're too big. They're too wide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, but it was a beautiful place. We went there quite often.
So then we get to the point. I've been at the right place at the right time many times throughout my career. This time, I missed it by... If you guys could see how long my arms are here. We opened 6 months prior to COVID. And the Don Pablo's, the now Fire Station Bar and Grill, they're 10,000 square feet, two stories. My kitchen is 3,000 square feet. I have a lot of money into the remodel, the fire trucks, the remodeling. I employ close to 125 people just to man this new adventure. And it is starting out gangbusters, just gangbusters. We're open. Things are going good. I can tell you that what we made in the first 6 months is what most restaurants make, maybe if they're lucky, in a year. I'm like, we were on par to put some competition on Texas Roadhouse across the street, which they do $5 to $6 million a year. And then 6 months later, we get this epidemic bug, this crazy thing called COVID. And after COVID, still restaurants are still struggling to this day. A lot of businesses are. I mean, not specifically restaurants. People targeted restaurants like they got it worse for some reason, and I don't know why, but I think all businesses struggled, whatever it is, the clothing, the food, the small businesses all struggled. And it was just one of the restaurants I could not afford to keep open because of its size, the taxes, the insurance, everything involved. I decided to sell it. But as an entrepreneur, I will share this with you guys, and I share this with everybody I come across. When you're in business, it's always good to own the real estate you're in. Because when you have a lease or you're renting, you're always on the hook every month for something. And this is if you're able to do it. I tell people to go out of their way to find a building that you can purchase, rent, or buy, lease to purchase, whatever, or lease to buy. Because when things hit the fan, at the end of the day, you'll have real estate to sell. And my grandmother, aka, if you're Polish, is Busha. My Busha told me, Jamie, invest in dirt. God's not making any more. So that's why I bought real estate. That's why any building or business I get into, I want to own, because if something hits the fan, you always have a backup. And so COVID did kick me in the dupa. Polish for butt. So it kicked me in the dupa, but I was lucky enough that COVID also did something. It made real estate go through the roof. So I was very blessed, after it's all said and done, to sell that location and the real estate for more than double what I paid for it.
Oh, phew. Nice.
So there's a silver lining.
I was worried about you. I was like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, I was selling plasma up until then. But, you know.
Did we always
see,
say
he
that.
Says that. We say
Is
that
it
every
where you
day.
Got it from?
Yeah.
No. We're just
like
all the same people.
In the business, in an entrepreneur, one day you're going to the bank, and the next day
you're at the blood bank.
You got to sell the
blood. You're at the blood bank.
That's a different bank.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a true story. True story. So, true. So yeah. That's kind of how we led up to after COVID and the restaurant business and being an entrepreneur, and more than eggs in one more than one egg in the basket, like I mentioned earlier. You know, I still had two other restaurants and the roofing company. Mm-hmm. Again, the roofing company could not do hardly any work during COVID. Some businesses I talked to flourished, like a good friend of mine that owns Toledo Spirits, Lucas, one of the owners, I should say. They did very well and Lucas is just the best guy ever. Have you interviewed him?
No, I haven't. I met him. Nick introduced me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been friends for well over 20 years. I helped him get his house through Sheriff's Auction, just to share. We've been good friends forever. Mm-hmm. And he started producing alcohol for free. Like, he started because he's got the biggest heart, the nicest man you ever met, the smartest person I personally know, like, unbelievable, and in good shape, and good looking. I just want to punch him in the face. He's a trifecta.
That says a lot because you know a lot of people.
I know a lot of people, but Lucas is on the top of my list. And he started producing the alcohol, and then he, you know, you can't do it for free forever, so he started selling it, and he did what he could to do to help the community. He's like, what can I do to help? And a lot of people stepped in during that time. And it's just one of those things when you're in a situation like that, you find out who your friends and family are.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I remember when Nick started Wildside, it was like, boom, bought the side. But the good thing the governor did was start letting everybody sell it out the door, which helped. Like, you could cap it and sell it,
can go pick it up.
Helpful to them home. And all the things, yeah.
Yeah, if you're an established business, all the restaurants there were established. The local community did support local. They did a lot of to-goes, mm-hmm. the alcohol even to-go. Even though they could still get it at the liquor store, they would get the margaritas to-go, the food to-go. Swanton, we had a very organized pickup system. We employed as many people as we possibly could that to help make money and not go on unemployment. Some restaurants did very well, and some restaurants actually found out, on a weird note, that they were more efficient not mm-hmm. having people dine in, which mm-hmm. is odd. And some people are either offended or upset that they can't dine in. But the restaurant's like, hey, I learned I'm actually more profitable on to-go than having a staff on the inside. So, again, don't be upset or offended. At least that business is still in business because they learned something from this. And it was a positive, not a negative.
Mm-hmm. Right. What advice do you have for you know, people struggling in business, like whatever could be happening, COVID or just no traffic because of construction. What you got?
I've gone through all that construction at multiple restaurants where State Route 64, when they were putting in a roundabout, would stop people from going to Haskins when they were working on the road in front of the fire station bar and grill. What I'd like to stress to the people listening is and the friends that you guys are friends with, your physical friends on social media. And I have, like you said, mentioned, I have a lot of friends. I have a very small group of good friends, but I have a lot of friends. But I'm reaching out to everybody that are friends with you, good or bad or close circle, whatever. You guys don't understand how important it is when you guys post something. I like everything you guys post. Mm-hmm. I comment once in a while when I see an outfit that I like. Won't wear it myself personally, but I like it. Mm-hmm. So people don't understand that Google is the way of the future and the algorithms and keeping you guys current. All they got to do is like or share. It doesn't take much out of the time of their day. No matter how much you post, that keeps you guys current. And good friends will do that. You're not asking them a lot, but that little bit will help get that feed that they shared to maybe a friend that didn't know you had mm-hmm. a shop there in Sylvania. Mm-hmm. When I'm out in public and everybody says anything about anything, I'm like, well, you guys got to go see Hip to the Groove in Sylvania. Go check out. It's very fun, eclectic clothing. You'll like it, especially when you got friends that you know what they wear. You know mm-hmm. they're not conservative. They're more flamboyant. You know, that's who you're going to refer. But all your friends, if I could stress this, even my friends, how important it is to share or like a post on social media because that keeps you relevant.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that, and we're going to do the same for the new cigar bar.
Yeah, the Haskins Hideout Cigar mm-hmm. and Bourbon Lounge.
I mean, it sounds so cozy. You do. She has to drink it before you sing usually, right? Just to the reasons.
It's like every go-to.
Yeah. But they're so cozy. Like everybody, even if you don't smoke or drink, like I still want to go there.
You can start.
Yeah. Well, you don't even have to. Like, it's cozy.
It's cozy.
You have food?
We are not allowed to have food under the restrictions from the state of Ohio. All we can do is sell liquor and cigars and munchies. We have to-go menus if you want to have food brought in. Mm-hmm. That's the loophole. You mentioned cozy. So I turned the Haskins location into a 3,000-square-foot custom cigar lounge, very modern, contemporary. And there's one area specific, and it's weird that you said cozy twice. We actually have an area about the size of the room that we're sitting in. We call it Cozy Corner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cute.
So I set up seating areas, and I wanted to see what would work out. And we have probably close to 40 TVs. I purchased new TVs on the one wall. We have 100-inch, an 86-inch to the left, 86 to the right for all the big sports fans. Mm-hmm. So they can sit in the overstuffed leather chairs that heat, recline, vibrate, and massage. I've been to many cigar lounges over the decades that I've been smoking. So my hobby when I was younger was I started smoking cigars because – AKA my Jaja, Polish for grandfather, smoked cigars. And every time I went to his house, he was always smoking a Dunhill or something. And I wasn't offended by the smell. I liked the smell. And nobody else did, surprisingly, because that's with cigars. You either like them or you don't. It's A or B, or you tolerate them. And over the years, I said, you know what? I think I want to try smoking cigars. So I started smoking the beginner cigars. We call them the sissy cigars, the flavored ones, the Amaretto, the ones that give off a good aroma when I was like 18. And then by the time I was 20, I progressed to real manly cigars that, you know, it's real tobacco. You got Maduro, you got Connecticut, every different flavor of real tobacco cigars. No more flavor, no more the smell, that the effervescence, whatever you want to call it, comes off of them. And I've been smoking since I was 20. And I've been a member at Third Street Cigar for going on 11 years. And long story short, I've been there forever. Still a member there. Love that place. The guys are great there. But I said I had this restaurant sitting empty in Haskins. And I'm like, what do I want to do with it? And I had some slow time. And I said, you know what? I think I want to turn my hobby or passion into a small business. So I got a bug up my butt, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to remodel it and see what happens, throw it against the wall and see what sticks. So I did that, and it turned out very well. We have a very well presence there in Haskins. Scott Sands is helping me with the social media. Melissa, mm-hmm. one of my other media people, she's helping me, and it's growing very quickly. But like I mentioned, it's not like any other cigar lounge you've been to. When you come in there, we have four pinball machines. Mm-hmm. You know, pinball's hot right now. I know Nick's got the pinball. Mm-hmm. A lot of bar restaurants are doing pinball. It's going retro. We have a huge horseshoe-shaped cigar bar that houses 15 people to sit. We have bourbon on draft. Comes out of the machine at negative 24 degrees, not mm-hmm. freezing, minus 24. We have, like I mentioned, 40 TVs.
I didn't know you could get bourbon on draft. I don't know much about bourbon.
Well, that's the thing. We are the first. I'm labeling it bourbon on draft. Nobody does it. It's called a shot chiller.
Okay.
But when you have bourbon in it, it's now
bourbon on draft. It's
that simple.
See, I did not know.
Yeah. So bourbon, whether you like to drink it neat, which is room temperature, on ice, on rocks, or out of the freezer cold, there's a different way that everybody enjoys it. I know when it comes out at negative 24, it's just so cold, and I think it brings out some better notes a little bit, but it goes down so smooth. I love it. The nice thing about, and I'll share this with you, you're welcome to come. It's a cigar lounge, not a bar. So just to be clear, if you show up, you are obligated to buy one cigar. Mm-hmm. So if you don't smoke, you can either give it to a cigar aficionado, or I partnered up with Cigars for Warriors. So you buy that cigar, and you donate it to the active military. So once we get enough cigars,
that's awesome.
It's the cost of a bourbon, mm-hmm. the cost of.
They might rather have a bourbon.
Right. I'm sure they would, but the logistics of getting liquor overseas.
Yeah, it's a little tricky.
It's very tricky. So I wanted people not to feel like they were wasting a cigar, wasting money, but to feel good about it. Like, yeah, come on in, have a drink, but know that you're obligated to purchase a cigar. And that there will be good that comes out of it. Somebody will enjoy it,
that's
whether it's a family
cool
member.
That is thing cool. To do.
Yeah,
that's
it's cool. Everybody loves mm-hmm. the military, so mm-hmm. that's what I focused on that caveat of if you don't smoke. I got a husband and wife team that are on the Haskins Fire Department. They've joined. They're members now, so we're open 24/7. So you can be a member and join and have access 24/7. But she doesn't smoke, but she drinks. And she'll buy a cigar like all the time. And I'm like, Jennifer, you don't have to do that. She's like, well, I feel that if I'm here, it's the least I can do. And it's the cost of a drink. It's like mm-hmm. buying a soldier a drink, but now they get to smoke it.
That's awesome.
That's yeah. so cool.
Will you, should we move on to the our famous
the favorite
question?
Okay.
And then we'll ask him how we can find all the things that are going on. And,
okay. So
know.
Wendy prepped you. So I'm sure that she did not tell you this.
No, because it's not my favorite question.
She hates this question, and normally it's a different question. Today, I have to actually change it up a little bit because today is the first time I met Jamie. Mm-hmm. So I need to ask you, why are you Wendy's cool friend?
It's usually why are you our cool friend.
Well, now he's my cool friend.
Yes.
Yeah. So this one's actually pretty easy because Nick, her son, and I became friends because of the restaurant business. And then when I was going to – you always support local owners. I support everything that I do, whether it's restaurants, roofing companies. You mentioned Steve Naylor earlier. He's one of my best friends. He took over ownership of Seagate Roofing and Foundations. One of my best friends for 25 years. So not to delve off really quick, but 25 years ago when I got into roofing, 27 – people wanted to butt heads as business owners. And I never understood why, because I'm super friendly and I'm nice and I want people to succeed, whether they're in my business or another business. And Steve and I were one of, I think, the first people that got together and became friends in the same industry. Mm-hmm. Other owners of other roofing companies would never want to talk to other owners of roofing companies. And I didn't understand why. And I think Steve and I kind of cracked that nut, so to speak, years ago, and we started talking and we were friendly. He says, Jamie, either you're going to get the job or I'm going to get the job. It's A or B. Who's a better salesman? Who's got better pricing? Whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. And over the past 27 years now, I'm friends with like all the local restaurant owners, mm-hmm. the roofing companies. There's a couple of the people in my industry in the roofing that are still anti-friends, whatever. And that's fine. That's on them. That's who they want to be. And I have no problems with that. But long story short, all the local restaurant owners, like Nick, that's how we came friends. And I ran across Wendy at his bar,
and then yeah. Tim's wedding.
And then Tim's wedding. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, she's a lot of fun. She's interesting. She's eclectic.
Eclectic.
Dynamic personality, so to speak.
I actually chose her for my business partner.
Oh, well.
Did you
I
have
did.
A choice? You did.
There's
you
choices
did.
In life,
story.
Wendy.
There are choices.
There are choices. Some you may regret, and some are like
might.
Best investment ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm so glad for our connection yeah. there, and I'm proud of Nick and Tim, of course, and all the endeavors,
all,
and
they,
Steve and everybody. Yeah. Like, you guys are rock stars. I'm very happy that
Toledo is a very, very
yeah.
small market.
And you know, this could be a part two, because what he touched on is, you know, what we talk about all the time is because we team up with other boutiques, other stores, to yeah. because it's, you know, power and strength
correct.
Together. Like, that's way better than
like
know,
what works
up.
For you.
Yeah.
You know, what works for you? What have you, like, if I see a competitor doing certain advertising, and my buddies from Trim Light in Northwest Ohio, they did some radio spots. And I've been doing radio since COVID because that's what I had to do. And the market that I was doing in radio kind of cycled through. And so I was looking for something different. And I heard them on the radio when I was remodeling the Haskins Hideout. And I heard them on the radio all the time. I'm like, I called them up. They're friends of mine. They're business owners. I said, hey, what are you doing? And they said, this is who we contacted. These are the spots we're on. That's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you want to connect with people like-minded. Might not be the same business that you're in, Lori. Could be different, but it mm-hmm. works for their business, mm-hmm. and you try it.
Yep.
What's the worst
Absolutely.
Case that can
That's
happen?
That's right.
Yeah.
I was always taught, you know, if you want to go to college, you talk to a college graduate. You know, talk to people mm-hmm. that are where you want to be. No
Correct.
Matter what
right.
they're doing.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
So where do we go to find out how to find out what all the good things that are happening in all the different businesses? What's the best?
It's pretty simple. fourguysaroof@gmail.com or fourguysaroof on Facebook. Mail Pouch Saloon, same thing, Mail Pouch Saloon. We just have the one location in Swanton, Ohio. Check us out on Facebook, our website. And the all-new Haskins Hideout Cigar and Bourbon Lounge. You can find us on the socials on Facebook very easily. You can find out everything we have there, how modern it is, a lot of pictures. The gentleman that I mentioned earlier, my social people, he shared with me that the Haskins Hideout, we soft opened now going on our third week. We're up to almost 200,000 views already in 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Nice job, wow. Scott.
Melissa and Scott.
They're
crushing it. So,
we're going to help the algorithm. We're going to share the heck out of it.
That's it. And just remember, have your friends and family share and like endlessly, because that little bit, they don't understand that little bit of liking every post, even if you post 10 times a day. Makes the biggest difference for your small business. And if they are your friends, true friends, they will go out of their way to help support you, because people can say they can do it, but do they actually?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you were here. And thank you for all the good advice. You gave a lot.
Well, thanks for the invite. It's been a while since I've done an interview.
Well, will you come back for part two, maybe?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Nice. Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics, Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer, and
Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.